The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Donna from Germantown, Maryland, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 330 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean, along with Laura Gilbreth, Lee Zimmerman, and Phil Vanderpool, as we continue our review of the 2015 Run Disney Avengers Half Marathon Weekend. In episode 329, we talked about the Health and Fitness Expo and the 5K. In this episode, we will cover the 10K and the half marathon. So let's join in.
And my guess is that all three of you did the Infinity Gauntlet, is that what it's called?
You better believe it.
Okay, so let's start off with Hawkeye. Hawkeye, how was the 10K?
Actually, Hawkeye was Captain America for the 10K.
Okay, Captain America.
It was suspiciously like the 10K the year before, I would say.
There was no 10K the year before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that way it was unlike any other 10K.
It was suspiciously like the Disneyland 10K in terms of the course.
The last race I did, it was a 10K. So real quick to hit the things Phil did. Again, the great logistics, you get there quickly. There was a lot of room in the race area because the pre-race area was actually built to handle the half marathon crowd. And there was significantly, I think we figured out there was like 8,000 finishers in there.
Yeah, no, there's only just under, I think, 7,000.
So there was like maybe 8,000 runners in the 10K, 7,000 finishers, something like that. Anyway, so lots of room, no long lines, easy access. One of the best parts, because we haven't mentioned this yet, is that the Disney hotels and a lot of the places that serve food in downtown Disney actually open at 4 o'clock on race weekend morning so that you can get coffee as your.
Oh, yes. Good point. Yes. Good point.
It people should know that because that's important to some of us.
Yes. I remember walking by Starbucks with a huge line.
But yes.
Longer than the porta potty line.
Yes. The good news is there's like four or five other places that you can actually get coffee in downtown Disney, which is also right there if you're not used to the West Coast. You've basically got Disneyland, California Adventure across from each other. Downtown Disney stretches out sort of perpendicular to them across the middle with the Grand Cal on along it, and then it runs into Paradise Pier and the Disneyland Hotel, so it's all really, really convenient, and the start and finish line is kind of right there in front of Paradise Pier and the Disneyland Hotel. So really quick walk to the corrals. They had, if you were in the pre-race area, there was kind of a nicely scripted Avengers, you know, skit entertainment going on until Rudy and Carissa went over to the start line, and then a nice DJ that was doing appropriate stuff. Rudy and Carissa entertained us until exactly the right time to start, as far as I could tell, and we were off and running.
So, Laura,
thing about this 10K course is, yes, the first 2 miles are outside of the park, but it gives everybody a chance to get spread out a little bit more. Once we do get into the park at about mile two, it's not quite so congested on the pass that can be a little bit narrow. So I really like the 10K course, this particular 10K course, because, yeah, we get the 2 miles outside the park, but then the rest of it is all on Disney property. So it's a nice course and easy to navigate.
So Laura must be psychic, because she answered the question before I could even ask it. That was good.
She's one of the chiefs of our West Coast here. That's why she gets that job.
That's why she has that on her business cards.
So the next The next question you're probably going to ask is about characters, and Phil. Phil sort of gave it away, and I would say if I have a complaint about this whole race weekend, it not really knowing, but it seems to me like corporate Disney basically gave this over to Marvel and said, "Here, this is your race. You control what's going on." And so for all three races, we saw four characters. Again, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Captain America, and the Hulk.
Thor.
We know they can't use the Hulk because he's licensed Universal. We know they can't use Iron Man because there's conflicts over using the term Iron Man in sports. For some reason, they don't go deeper into some of the other Avengers. And it's kind of the same complaint we've had with some of the Star Wars stuff. While we know from Star Wars weekends that there are perfectly good, you know, Jedi Mickey and Princess Leia minis and stuff like that, none of the Disney characters were out, and I don't think we've ever seen them in any sort of Avengers superhero sort of thing. But if you only have four characters and you're going to spread them out from two parks, because again, you do 4 miles of the 6 miles of this running in the parks. So as filler, they have a bunch of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They kind of have a Coulson clone and some other people. And then every now and then you're running along and there's a bunch of folks with, you know, like S.H.I.E.L.D. sweatshirts on that are sort of yelling encouragement and stuff to you. But they desperately need more characters in these races to cut the lines down a little bit and spread things out and give people more of that Disney race experience of I'm running in the parks and I've got character stops.
Yes, I always wonder why they don't bring out the Incredibles, because you know, Disney has their own superheroes. Come on, bring out the Incredibles, Frozone, you know, some of that.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. You know, something just occurred to me that I would like very much. I don't stop a lot for characters. I like to run by, but would it be a good idea, do you think, if Run Disney published who was going to be on the course? So that if there was one person that you really wanted to see, that you knew you'd see that person, because you just kind of don't know until you're, I mean, part of it's fun that you're running along and you say, oh, there's that person, but yeah, wouldn't it be cool if you knew that there were going to be 6 character stops and you had, you know, you didn't want to wait in all the lines and you could stop for the 2 that you wanted to. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Sometimes they've done that. I have seen maps or something that has had some information on what characters are going to be where, but it's hard to find.
And I know we saw some of that during the 10K, because Thor had, I think, the longest line of any of the characters. He was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, surprisingly, and I remember, and you know, so we, Phil was at the very beginning of Corrale. Laura and I were also in Corrale, just not quite so fast and further back. So we were still ahead of most of the folks, and so I only assumed the line just kept getting longer and longer as you work your way back. But I was really surprised last year when we got to Captain America. I mean, Run Disney had actually used tape to make a big windy queue because they knew there was going to be lots of people. And then they had an overflow queue. This time, Thor probably, you know, had the queue line 3 or 4 times back and forth. We got to Captain America, it was only a couple. And Michelle, again, I think it's people stopped at the first one and then they may have started to realize they were getting behind or they didn't know who else. And you would like to plan your one stop to get the character that you most want if you're going to do it that way. The other question, someone should ask Laura about her Captain America character stop experience in the 10K.
Laura.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could tell us about your experience in the character stop in the 10K.
Well, I was dressed as Agent Carter.
Oh, I know this. Okay. But our listeners may not. Go ahead.
So I had the, you know, the blue outfit and the red hat. And so we got to Captain America. And, of course, with Lee dressed as Captain America, me dressed as Agent Carter, there was no way we weren't stopping. But fortunately, the line was pretty short. There were only about 8 people in line. So we get up. It's our turn. And I step up there and I say, "Hello, Captain." And he says something like, "Peggy Carter." And he gives me this big hug. And all of a sudden, he says, "Well, you should be on this side." And so he picks me up and swings me around and puts me down on his other side. He does all of this with one arm.
Oh my goodness. Is it getting warm on this podcast?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I was pretty shocked.
The best part about that was somebody took your picture in the shot of Lee on the side. And I'm sure this wasn't the intention, but just the way, Lee, that you're standing, it looks like you're like saying, well, forget it, I give up. I can't match this.
Actually, that was exactly what I was doing. And everybody in line was more laughing at me because I was standing there with my head down looking like a dope. There was probably some gushing from the women that were in line too. But so as we run away, Laura's like, best character stuff ever. And suddenly she's running like a 7-minute-mile pace, and I'm trying to calm her down so that we can actually finish the race in something, some reasonable pace.
Huh? Yeah, I think I might have floated the last mile.
I hope that picture goes in your blog if people want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
The cast member who had my phone did a great job, and they got about 8 or 9 pictures.
Which will be their Christmas card this year.
that is one of the things I give Run Disney props. They had lots of cast members manning those stops. So, you know, normally they have somebody who'll take your personal phone and then the actual race photographer. They had 3 and 4 people taking cameras. So they were basically working their way back the line. So they were immediately ready to go as you got up to the character to take a picture with your personal cell phone. And then as, you know, you went away and they gave you back your phone, the next cast member was ready with the next people already. So they did everything they can, I think, to make that process as efficient as possible.
That's awesome. You know, Captain America kind of slowed things down with us, but normally they were cranking through pretty quickly.
So that's awesome. But before we move on from the 10K, I have a feeling that somebody on this podcast had a pretty awesome race. Lee, do you want to tell us what happened with somebody else on this podcast?
You mean the somebody else that like finished
25th,
you know, in his 10K race?
Yes.
That would be Phil the Flash Vanderpool.
Yes. Yeah, that was a good one. That's my personal best there. I was incredibly ecstatic to actually see the placement that I had got there, and it was a lot of fun. And I know I was dressed as Spider-Man during that race.
So it slowed you down? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No. But towards the end of it, I had come up 1, 2, and 3. As far as our age group wise, they had flown past us, but I was running with 2 guys that we kind of knew that we were competing with each other, and one of them was dressed like Wolverine, one of them was dressed like Captain America, and I was dressed like Spider-Man. So we had this head-to-head going, leapfrog, we're very neck and neck, and got very, very competitive, and it was fun the whole time, but then we were kind of put back. I think it might have been that same Captain America that picked you up. If it wasn't, they're really good at their job. But Captain America saw this scene of Wolverine and Captain America and Spider-Man battling for placement, and he just started egging everybody on and saying, "Come on, you guys can do this. Spider-Man catch Captain America. You can do this." And I pretended to shoot him with a web, and he held up his shield like he was blocking it and saying, "Oh, good thing I got this shield." But
oh boy, I hope your friends at work hear this podcast. What Phil did on his vacation. Pardon me?
I said, and this while running a 7-minute pace, they're mugging.
Yeah. That's awesome. And backwards, they're running backwards too. Yeah. Well, I know, Phil, you know, from having spent time with you at Wine and Dine, that you were a little disappointed because you had some ideas of what you were going to do for the half marathon. So it sounds like you crushed it for this one.
Yeah, I figured I was just going to throw all effort in. My legs had been shot because I had run pretty hard the last week and had continued to train. So the 10K was going to be my all out race. And then, figured I'd take it easy the next day for the half marathon.
That's awesome. Well, I was talking to your wife, and she said, and you know how competitive she is, she said she can't keep up with you right now. So,
oh, she's just trying to make me so that I let my guard down. I'm sure she's coming very quickly.
All right. So congratulations. That's awesome. Let's move on to the half marathon, which I remember from last year was a very windy affair. And Laura, was it the same type of race weather-wise?
No, we had, for both the 10K and the half, and I assume the 5K as well, we had perfect running weather this weekend. It was like 52, 54 degrees at the start, almost no wind, humidity around 55%. So as far as I was concerned, it was absolutely perfect. It does not get better than that. Very comfortable. So we did not have wind for this year's half marathon. But interestingly enough,
no tumbleweeds either?
No tumbleweeds.
Last year, the half marathon was on November 16th, and it was very, very windy. This year, on Monday, November 16th, it was very, very windy. Oh, so we missed it by a day.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it was very, very windy on Monday of this week. So, but yeah, we had great, great conditions for the half marathon. It was really nice.
Were there characters along the Santa Ana like last year?
Yes. Yeah, the cosplayers were out there. I didn't think there were as many of them this year.
It was a lot, but I think not as for the superhero cosplayers.
Yeah.
The other thing is in the Angel Stadium parking lot, the like World War II era reenactors, there was as many or more of them. So there was actually more of them than there were, I think, the superhero cosplayers. But there was probably 30. 40 cosplayers still.
Remember. And they seemed like they were not spread out as much as they were last year. So maybe that was really the issue. They were just closer together, so we didn't run by them for quite as long. Now, the other thing that was at the stadium, in addition to the reenactors, there were a bunch of swing dancers.
Oh, so fun.
They had set up a stage, and apparently they were doing swing dancing. Now, when we ran by them, I think they must have been taking a break, and they were just standing there cheering people on, so they weren't actually dancing.
And then there was lots and lots and lots and lots of cheerleaders along the whole course several times. So, you know, we've talked about this before. You can only go so far in the two Disney parks before you have to go out through the beautiful streets of Anaheim or Costa Mesa or Garden Grove or whatever. And so, you know, Disney does what they can in the various races. So the cosplayers and the reenactors are big on this one. There were only a couple bands, and I think the bands were actually in the park. But there were a bunch of cheerleader groups in different places. But other than that, it was pretty much out running through the city on nice wide major streets that are fairly flat for a long time.
Yeah, the problem with this particular course, the thing I don't like about it, is by mile 2.5, you're out of the parks. So you go from the start line, you go right into the back of DCA after maybe, I don't know, a quarter mile. And then mile 2.5, that's it. You exit and you're done with the parks. So that's a lot of miles to be out just on the streets.
So, Phil, what was your impression of this race? And, you know, when we run half marathons at Walt Disney World, we're completely on property. And as Lee said, you leave the park and we get to see some of the community people. What was your impression of this course?
You know, I liked it. It was new for me, of course. So, and I was still on the high of, you know, being my first trip and everything. But I honestly thought it was a really good combination of running a Disney race and then running any other type of road race. So what I mean by that is, you know, you do get the park time, and I agree, 2.5 miles was way too short. It seemed like it went very quickly, and if there was some way to extend that, that would be great. But just kind of going out on the street and getting the community support and you know, all the cheerleaders that had come out, It was a really good experience. I thought it was a really good hybrid. There were wide open streets. You could kind of see action around you. It wasn't just purple signs coming up in a sea of people. I mean, there were cars coming out there, you know, businesses. You could kind of see the city a little bit. And I actually liked that.
That's cool. That's cool.
Phil, if you could take a moment and think about what you liked out in California that you would like to see in the Walt Disney World, the East Coast Run Disney half marathons. What would you like to see them take from the West Coast and put it in the East Coast races?
The starting area and put it right next to the hotels. No, you know, I mean, they're very similar experiences. I think that the West Coast, this probably leads out to the mentality, the California mentality, but I thought the staff there was a lot more laid back. It seemed a lot more easygoing, and in general, you know, the volunteers were really on top of their game. Not that they're not on top of their game on the East Coast, but as far as bib checking, I mean, they were right there. The corrals were run very smoothly there. There wasn't the chaos that I was used to on the East Coast, and I think that you can attribute that to having a smaller space to police in a sense. Mm-hmm. But fewer runners as well. You know, it seemed like a much smoother experience.
Yeah, there were only 10,765 finishers for that half marathon. So that was interesting. What did you think of the, you know, once you've crossed the finish line, the post race area, how that was handled? What did you think?
You know, it was a little chaotic. So for those that aren't familiar, the 10K and the 5K, they run through downtown Disney, and downtown Disney is a major thoroughway for foot traffic to get to back to all the hotels. So there is some confusion. So once you finish, you've got to double back and find your way. And there's a lot of those people traps, you know, where they walk you halfway through the street.
I didn't know there was a name for that.
Kind of change the course. Man traps, people traps. Okay. I don't even know what you call them, but yeah. So that it took a while to get back to the room. For the 5K and 10K, the half does not run through or does not finish and take you through downtown Disney. So that was a lot easier. But that was, you know, all in all, it wasn't bad.
And would you do another Run Disney event in California and maybe bring your family?
I will run another event. Unfortunately, I'm not bringing my family next time, but I'm all signed up for the Star Wars. That was kind of a last minute thing. And unfortunately, Eve's not able to get off of work, so I will be doing that one solo.
So I have one more question for Phil. Mm-hmm. This was your first time out there, but it was also during Christmas time. What did you think of the way Disneyland and Disney California Adventure celebrates Christmas?
Absolutely amazing. I mean, hands down, they handle it a lot better than the Disney World. And that might be because they have the convenience of space, but every land done up fantastic. The overlays on the rides were absolutely incredible. You know, from the Small World light show in front to how they redo the ride. I mean, it was a completely different experience, and I was just kind of blown away by everything. It was absolutely outstanding.
Isn't it a little surreal when you're there? To think, oh, this kind of looks like what I know, but it's not really.
It is.
Yeah.
So, Mike, okay. Phil actually, it's not just the Christmas stuff. He was there actually for the opening of Seasons of the Force.
Yes,
and I'm
that's right.
pretty sure he got to do the soft opening of Hyperspace Mountain.
I was just going to ask that. Oh. So what is Hyperspace Mountain?
So Hyperspace Mountain is a Star Wars overlay of Space Mountain, and they've really taken Space Mountain and they've added a story line to it, which for me, I was just looking forward to riding Space Mountain because everybody who had been had said it's the far superior version. It's a lot more comfortable and smoother ride. So ride aside, that was great. But if you add Star Wars to it, I'm sold. Right. And it was just an incredible experience. They put you in the rocket, and then next thing you know is you're just hearing other X-wing fighter pilots chatter in the background, and they project Star Destroyers and TIE fighters and X-wings all over you, and they get you right from the beginning with that John Williams score, and it really felt like Space Mountain, but it felt like something entirely different. I just was not used to having a story with that ride, and if you make it Star Wars, all the better.
Wow, why can't they do that at Walt Disney World?
Oh, there'll be something. You never know.
Yeah. Haunted Mansion?
Haunted Mansion, same thing. I mean, Haunted Mansion has the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay. Which I actually prefer that to the original ride. I'm just a huge fan of that movie.
It's awesome. They do it so well.
They do. I mean, you really know you're on the mansion, but it just doesn't feel like it. It feels like a completely brand new experience. I mean, all the way down to new animatronics. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And just one more thing. What about Pirates?
I like Pirates a lot. You know, it's almost the same ride, except for you've got that, there's an extra cavern in the beginning, and I think that actually adds a lot to it. And the second waterfall too in the front, which I wasn't expecting, but that was great too.
And last for me, Phil, what did you think of, and hopefully you enjoyed Temple of the Forbidden Eye?
I did. Yes. That was great.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, and then there's all the new 60th shows, which I think Phil saw 2 out of 3 of.
Yes, we saw the I don't know if it was – we saw the Paint the Night, I believe it's called. So I don't know if that – is that a 60th anniversary show?
Yeah.
Okay. And then World of Color we saw – I'm not sure if it was the 60th or if it was just the holiday version.
You guys saw Winter Dreams, right?
Winter Dreams, yes.
Yeah, that's the holiday show.
And I know Mike is going to want to ask this. What did you think of the size of the castle? Yeah. Size doesn't matter, but
no. You know, for me, I mean, everyone's told me about the size of the castle, so I kind of knew what to expect. Even knowing that, I was still kind of taken aback, like, wow, you know. But then that was seeing it on day one. By day three, it just kind of it looked like it fit, and I was used to it. But
I can still throw a baseball over it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
So we want to close the book on the 2015 Avengers race weekend. Phil, Laura, Lee, thank you oh so much for telling us what it was all about and making us jealous.
And look for Laura's blog on All Ears.
Yes.
We'll put a link in.
Yes, we will.
Great. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
And Phil.
Thank you.
Phil, congratulations for doing an amazing job on both races.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
And Laura, congratulations for your little rendezvous.
And Lee, my condolences.
I guess I finished both of them. Yay me.
I think the best part of that is that Lee was dressed like Captain America at the time.
The best thing, though, is you don't want – well, this is a private joke, but if Eddie saw you, he would send you something in a little envelope.
All right.
So for Lee Zimmerman, for Laura Gilbreth, for Phil Vanderpool, and for Michelle Scribner, Mac Lane. This is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.